Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, our message comes from the Psalms, chapter 9, verse 1, which says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. What a great verse that tells us about our relationship with Christ and how we should live it, that we should serve him with our whole heart, that we should praise him, that we should show forth all his marvelous works. One of the best ways to show his marvelous works is to be a born-again Christian who walks in the Spirit each day, who represents Jesus Christ to the world around him. And as we try to do that, we're ambassadors for Christ, and we make a big impact on people's lives. And people will come and ask us, why are we so generous? Why do we love other people? Why do we meet needs in people's lives? And when that happens, then we have the privilege and the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we'll see fruit for our labor.
Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Lord, send me. Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we spotlight Mission Go's commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their desire is to share the truth found in the Word of God. And we can't wait for you to hear these testimonies of those dedicated to Jesus. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This report is from our mission family serving leprosy patients in the Congo.
Dear faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace and the joy of our Lord and Savior be upon you in the midst of the many troubles of this life. May you keep your eyes fixed on the salvation which Jesus has brought to your hearts and lives by his death and resurrection. Hallelujah! God is just so good in so many ways as he leads and guides us. He watches over us and protects us. I want to tell you about an unfortunate incident involving a former patient of ours, who had completed his leprosy treatment and been discharged from our program. When Mama Sarah went to Canada to be with her family for a time, this patient went to the local police station. He reported to them that before Sarah left, she had given money to me to pay for his rent and food, but that I had stolen the money. The police summoned me to appear at their station. I informed the officials that this man's accusations were untrue. He was no longer a patient of ours, and there was no money that Sarah had given me for him. However, the man insisted that I was lying. This former patient is a rather elderly man, and in this culture you're always supposed to believe your elders. This made it very difficult for me to explain to the police that they were being lied to. They did not believe me. They said that I must return in 2 days with witnesses to prove my innocence, or I would be fined the amount of money the man claimed I had stolen. Thankfully, Mama Sarah returned the next day from Canada. I took her to the police station along with one of our pastors as my second witness. The former patient and the police officers were astonished when Sarah walked into the room. They asked her if it was true that she had left money for this man with Serge and Serge had stolen it. Sarah informed them very clearly that the man was lying and that no such transaction had been made. It was only by the grace of God and His timing that this all worked out in my favor. God is always so close to us, and His truth will always set us free in so many different ways. About 3 months later, very early in the morning, the security guard at the mission station came to my house. He said there was someone who wanted to see me. I went to the guard station and was surprised to see our former patient. Immediately my heart was filled with a lot of fear and worry for what was about to happen. The man asked if we could please find a place to sit and talk. When we sat down together, he said, "I am getting ready to leave town, but I know that I have wronged you. I have come to apologize." He knew that what he had done to me was not right. He was in a financially difficult situation and had decided to lie to try and extort money from me. But now, he had received Jesus Christ into his life. He wanted to beg my forgiveness before he left. I forgave him and prayed for him in the presence of Mama Sarah. God is so good and so gracious to all those who trust in Him.
As part of the Canada National Bible Hour and Mishango Ministry, I encourage you to carry these stories in your hearts. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This month, we are offering Reconciliation, Restoring Broken Relationships, a booklet written by June Hunt. Do these four hurts sound familiar? Sarcasm, hurt feelings, misunderstanding, alienation. When imperfect people connect with other imperfect people, relationship breakdowns are sure to occur. Why is it so hard to patch things up? Who should make the first move? You need to know, forgiving someone is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation is a restored relationship based on restored trust. Even when there are valid reasons to feel hurt, and even when the other person is undeserving, the spirit of reconciliation reflects the heart of God. Prepare your heart to resolve differences. Allow God to reveal the road to reconciliation in your relationships today. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour Box, 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario L2R 707, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York 14231.
Turns his face away as wounds. Those which Mother chosen one, bring many sons to glory.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled, A Very Special Invitation. I know that you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
I would like to share with you today from what has been called the second best known words of the New Testament. I think we would all agree that the beautiful words of John 3:16 are the best known, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These blessed and precious words of the Lord Jesus, informing us of God's love for sinners, can be quoted by heart by most Christians, even the very youngest. But what would you say are the second best known verses of the New Testament? There would probably be much difference of opinion at first. Then, after we thought about it for a while, we might tend to agree with one Bible commentator that the second best known and loved words of the New Testament are those found in Matthew 11:28 and 29. So let me turn to these important words of the Lord Jesus under the topic, A Very Special Invitation. Matthew 11:28 and 9. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. A very special invitation. Some years ago, my wife and I pastored a Baptist church in Edmonton. It had been founded by the late Mr. Ernest Manning and Mrs. Muriel Manning, his wife. They were both members and very active in the church ministry. We also had many, many good Christian couples who assisted us in the work. One such couple was the late Mr. Orvis and Mrs. Gladys Kennedy. I'm sure some of our listeners will recall them. They were very active in the social credit work of the day, as well as that of the church and in this radio ministry. We often visited in their home and they in ours. One time when visiting with them, I learned that Orvis had spent some time as a member of Parliament, and I asked him what would be the highlight of those years. Without wasting a moment, he replied that the invitation to meet with Queen Elizabeth would certainly be the highlight. Then he proceeded to tell of the excitement of receiving the invitation, of all the preparations that took place, and finally the honor and awe that he felt as he was presented to the Queen of England, the royal head of the British Empire. The thrill and enthrallment of that special time was indelibly marked in his memory. Now that was certainly a special invitation, for comparatively few are ever invited to meet the Queen. But here in Scripture, we have a greater invitation, for it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let us think about these words for a few moments. First, we note that the invitation is to come. Come to me. This invitation was given to a nation that would soon reject him and cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus knew this, yet he says, "Come. Come unto me." He might have said, "Go away from me," or "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." John 2:25 says that Jesus knew what was in man. He knew the hypocrisy there, the sinfulness that resided in man, yet he says, "Come, come to me." What a very special invitation this is. Someone has said the sweetest word in all the English language is the word "come." And Jesus says, "Come. I know all about you, but I want you to come to me." Then we note that the invitation is very special, for it's a universal invitation. Come unto me, all ye. It is not just for the Jews or for some separate people group, no matter how special they may be. The invitation of Christ is for all ye, all men, everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4 says that God the Savior will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And verse 6 says that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Christ's invitation, then, is a universal invitation to all men, rich or poor, learned or ignorant, royal or common. Come unto me, all ye, and I will give you rest. You see, there is a common ailment of mankind. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person born into this world is born a sinner and alienated from God. In Ephesians 2:17 we read, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Think of it, aliens, without God, having no hope. This is the very sad condition of man that made Christ come and pay the price of man's sin on the cross. Jesus' invitation, then, is very special, for it is to sinful men, to those who feel the burden of guilt. For Jesus said, "All ye who labor and are heavy laden." There are many who know they have sinned, and it's pressing down on them like a great burden. Jesus says, "Come." There are many who labor, trying to do enough to save them, but never knowing if all their good works will really be enough. Jesus says, "Come. I did the work of paying for your sin at the cross. Come and I will save you and forgive you." Come unto me. There are some who think they're too good. They don't need to be saved by Jesus. But Scripture says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans 3:10. So to the self-righteous, Jesus says, "Come unto me." I wonder, have you done that? Have you accepted this great and special invitation? If not, will you accept it today? Then we note that the invitation is special because of the very special person. who issues it. Jesus said, come unto me. So we need to ask, who is this one who offers such a special invitation? Well, he is the one who was promised for centuries to Israel and who was promised to be the Savior of the world. Isaiah the prophet spoke of his coming when he wrote, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Later, an angel spoke to Joseph, the espoused husband of Mary, saying, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew chapter 1. Jesus is the one prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus was God's special son and was truly Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus spoke the words of God. He did the works of God, healing the sick, the lame, the blind, works that proved he was indeed the Son of God. As God the Son, he gave his life on the cross as a payment for all the sins of all the world. Jesus was raised from the dead, proving that all that he said and did was true. Friends, this invitation is to come, or to come is not offered by an ordinary man or even a great man, but it's offered by God the Son, the one which Scripture declares will one day rule on the throne of David as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is what makes the invitation so very special. Jesus was God. Paul wrote, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3. Jesus as God says, come unto me, I will give you rest. This makes the invitation a very, very special one. Friends, the issue is not one of just believing some man or saying no to a human being. When Jesus says, come, believe in me, receive me, trust me, it is God who is involved. It is God who invites us. It is God who is received or rejected. Jesus said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. To ignore the invitation, then, is to reject and refuse God or ignore God and his Son. Today is the day of salvation. God's invitation to come to Christ and find rest is still open, but it will not always be so. One day this age of grace will end, and then there will be no opportunity to accept his gracious invitation. Or our lives could end suddenly, and the opportunity to accept Christ could be gone forever. The one way to make sure of your salvation is to come to Christ now. Receive him as your Savior and Lord, and learn to live for his glory. It is our hope and prayer that you will do this. Then finally, the invitation is very special because of the promise associated with it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And verse 29, ye shall find rest unto your souls. So Jesus is speaking about a spiritual rest, the rest of the soul. The spiritual leaders of Israel had over the centuries built up a limitless number of things for the faithful to do or not to do, and by their adding do's and don'ts to God's law, they had laid heavy burdens on the sincere followers of those days. Jesus, in saying, come to me, and I will give you rest, indicates then that we can receive it as a gift. The Greek word for rest means relief from labor or to refresh. So Christ is saying the peace with God that you are vainly seeking by all your religious efforts can be found in me. I will give it to you as a gift. So cease from your labors, lay down your heavy burdens, and receive the forgiveness of sins as a gift. And you know, that's exactly what we need to do. Scripture says we cannot gain peace with God by any works that we do, but only through trusting what Christ has done. In Ephesians 2:8-9 we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So God gives salvation not to those who try to work for it, but to those who will receive it by faith. They believe God's word, they admit their helplessness, and ask for his forgiveness in Christ. Some years ago, an evangelist attempted to convince a wealthy woman that all her works would not save her in God's sight. He was unsuccessful. The woman gave a large supper one night for the poor and provided them all with new clothes. An inspiration struck the evangelist, and he said to her, "If one of your guests would come to you, thanking you first for the new clothes that you gave them, but said, 'I must do something in return, here are all my old dirty clothes rolled up in this parcel,' would you accept them and be pleased?" he asked. "Of course not," the lady replied. Then it dawned on her how useless were all her efforts to make herself better, and she willingly turned and accepted Christ as her Savior. Jesus offers us today this special invitation to come to him, to cease all our own labors, and receive as a gift eternal rest. I hope you will not ignore or refuse this very special invitation, but that you will come and accept it today.
Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, share biblical truth and Bible doctrine to help people grow in their faith, but we're also concerned about those who may be listening in who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so we'd like to share a brief evangelistic message, which simply says this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short. We've all done things we are embarrassed about, things that bring guilt to us. We realize that we did the wrong thing. Those things are called sin. The Bible calls it missing the mark. God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a perfect God, and we are not. And so therefore, we're not able to get into his presence because he's a holy God and we are sinners and we need grace. And the grace is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life. He was a God-man. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in his own body. He died and rose again on the third day. And because he died for our sins on the cross, our sins are paid for. And so when we exercise faith, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. When you trust Christ for your salvation and ask him to forgive your sins and repent of your sins, you become a believer in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you're a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we are offering Reconciliation, Restoring Broken Relationships, a booklet written by June Hunt. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.